Hello and welcome to the Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. And I'm here today with Candy Storinos, who with her husband Bill owns the Mayflower Luncheonette in Bethlehem on West Broad Street, about a half mile from downtown. Candy, welcome to the Inside Dish.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the Mayflower. It's been there since 1951, and then your family's involvement.
So we just celebrated our 10th anniversary this last September. My husband and I took it over. We actually became business partners before we got married. So it was an opportunity for us to own a small business. We're both restaurant kids. His father owned a seaside steak shop in Rehoboth Beach for over 40 years. And my family, of course, owned a place down in outside Reading, Pennsylvania. So between the two of us, we had an understanding of the restaurant business. We knew kind of what it needed to do it. And we thought, hey, this will just be a fun little adventure for the two of us. So yeah, the place has been there over 67 years. We did the math. And it's a great little place where the history and people coming in telling us that they had come when they were children, or and the fact that we still serve the same sandwiches that they had when they were children. we tried to keep it the same from owner to owner.
And how big is the location? What's the atmosphere like inside?
It's very comfortable. We joke that it's almost like Cheers, one of your friendly breakfast places. The waitress knows your name. Bill will talk to you about everything from politics to sports, while of course he's cooking your breakfast. And if you become regular enough, not only does he remember your name, but he remembers what you eat for breakfast. So you have to almost stop him as you're walking in. No, I'm not having that. I'm going to do pancakes today. I'm not doing eggs. Because he'll have your order on the grill before you even sit down.
Well, and it's funny when I think Starbucks came to prominence, you know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. People that went there thought it was really cool that people knew their order coming in, and they didn't realize this has been done for decades at small family-owned businesses that are the cornerstones of a lot of these communities.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great little neighborhood place. On snowy days, people kind of use this as an escape to get out of the house because it's all – I like that we're a part of the downtown, you know, West Side, Bethlehem, just down from the Rose Garden there. I mean, people walk – If there's like the farmer's market going on at the Rose Garden, they come down and have breakfast or lunch with us. So it definitely is part of the neighborhood.
Does the breakfast and lunch aspect maybe make it a little bit more social than if you serve dinner there, which tends to be even a little more formal, even if you're there with someone else?
Yeah, you definitely come in, you get your hot cup of coffee, and you're able to have a conversation about the weather or what's going on in the neighborhood. And you know, it's more of a, let's see our neighbors and see what's going on. What's the scuttlebutt? You know, it's amazing. I myself also work at Lehigh University, and I find out more about what's going on at Lehigh from the Mayflower than I do from work. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely your little neighborhood, you know, burger joint. So we make everything from sandwiches on Kaiser rolls to our Greek sandwich, which incorporates gyro meat and tzatziki sauce in an omelet with pita bread. So everything we make is from scratch, and so we can make everything to order.
In fact, I wanted to talk about that. The website says real food right from mom's kitchen, and I don't think a lot of people realize how much food can be purchased by restaurants, mostly prepared, that they're just reheating and serving, maybe doing something with it.
Yeah.
So what type of experience does that give the people that come to Mayflower?
Well, you're able to not only tailor as to what goes into the dish, you know, but I think that we kind of get lost. You know, you mentioned the Starbucks of the world. Everything there is just packaged in plastic. There's none of that. I mean, we have a guy literally in a truck that brings us eggs and potatoes. That's all he does. He brings us eggs and potatoes from his farm. And, you know, those are the eggs and potatoes that we then turn into, you know, your meal. Same with the meat. We work with a local butcher for the pork rolls and the bacon. And so it's everything that comes through. Nothing's pre-prepared. I mean, we have to either make it on the grill or back in the kitchen. So,
I know your family is of Greek heritage.
Yes.
Talk about some of the Greek dishes that people might be able to find on occasion.
Yes. So what we do have, we do try to make, we make mom's homemade Greek yogurt. When I was a little girl, and I would go to the supermarket with her, I would beg her to buy me the yogurt with the fruit on the bottom. And she would always insist that she could make it better. And I would say, but that's what everybody's eating at school. You know, very much like the big fat Greek wedding. It was mom, whatever came out of mom's kitchen is what we had to eat. And so I grew up on homemade Greek yogurt before it became a fad. And we incorporated that in our version of the Mayflower. I think every family that's taken over the Mayflower has brought their own style to things. Maybe the way they're making the egg sandwiches or the way they make the soups or what have you. So what we brought in these last 10 years, not only was our famous Greek sandwich, but we make the homemade Greek yogurt and cinnamon rice pudding with the Greek yogurt that we make, you know, on site. We'll do granola or fresh fruit or honey to go with it, kind of like you would find in Greece if you were to go somewhere for breakfast, coupled with the cinnamon rice pudding that incorporates lots of cinnamon and just lots of ooey goodness.
And you have baklava?
You know, that's a seasonal request.
Okay.
We make baklava village style. So it's called placeta.
Mm-hmm.
Is how my mother taught me. That's what it's called. And the placeta turns it into more of a, it's a circular type of baklava, almost like a never-ending circle. It starts in the middle really small. If you can imagine, it just encases the entire pan. Still has the walnuts and the honey and the phyllo dough, just not your traditional stacked baklava. So what we like to do at the holidays is have some of that on hand, as well as gourabiedes, which are Greek, a traditional Greek shortbread covered in powdered sugar, and a walnut cookie called finikia that are traditional at this time of year. What I learned growing up as an immigrant here in the States, while in Greece you can get these delicacies at any time, all year round, my mom would always have them for the various seasons. So at Christmas is when you have the shortbread and the finikia and the baklava. At Easter, you have a traditional bread that's almost like a brioche. In the summertime, you do a lot of fresh, a lot with fresh fruit and dried figs and things. So it, everything has its season as opposed to just assuming you could have it all year round.
So if you're listening to this in January or April, you have to wait till December to get your next taste.
Well, I have to say, we do take requests. We many times have people, you know, we do catering, I guess, if you want to call it that, for desserts and dessert catering. We'll make the baklava by request or any of those cookies. You just have to shout out to us via our Facebook page or give us a call.
Now, it would seem to me by going to the twice a year Greek food festivals over in West Bethlehem that there is a fairly strong, tight-knit Greek community here in the Valley. What does that that festival do to help maybe bring attention to Greek cuisine or the heritage of Greek foods here in the Valley?
I think we're very blessed to have such a strong Greek community in my hometown, because it allows, now that I'm a mom, allows my children to grow up learning the Greek language, learning the Greek dances and the food. And I think it gives a taste to people that aren't Greek to kind of live like a Greek for a day, I think is what we say when you come to the festival. So all the food that we present at the festival, you can find that at some of your local establishments, because a lot of the eating establishments in the Valley are owned by Greeks. And I'm sure on some variation on some days, they'll offer the moussaka or the pasticcio and the gyros, of course, that you can find. It means a lot, I think, to us as immigrants that we're able to come together and not only share for ourselves the food and the good tastes, but also share it with the community.
Well, and you mentioned the prominence of Greeks in the restaurant business here in the Valley and elsewhere, and I've always kind of been curious about that. Is there something inherent in the Greek culture or the community that makes the restaurant business a good fit?
So the Greeks have something called philotimo. Philotimo is hard to translate into, I think, the English language, because it not only means to be generous and to be kind and to be welcoming, it's almost like all of those things in one word, to want to share what you have with others. I think what became evident, and I can't believe I'm turning your food show into something about the refugee crisis, but what became evident is with the refugee crisis going on currently in Europe, the island of Mytilene, which is where my parents are from, took on almost 800,000 refugees at the height of it on this very small island that's probably the size of Rhode Island. I mean, very small, if it's as big as Rhode Island. Very small place. And yet everyone that came through was treated as if they were just family. My husband and I went just recently to celebrate our 10th anniversary in the fall to Greece. And everywhere we went in order to have either a meal or to purchase a book or something, everyone always gave us something extra for free. And it was just this generosity that I think the Greeks were kind of, I don't know, they're born with it. It's just something in our nature that I think makes us a really good fit for the restaurant business, because we do want to give all that we have and make sure that you're not hungry. Okay, I'll make you something small to eat. You know, you have to eat anyway. You always have to eat.
So what's the future for a small neighborhood place like the Mayflower? I would have been maybe worried 10 or 15 years ago with the influx of change, but it seems like there's a move back to authenticity and neighborhood places that are walkable. So I might feel a little bit more comfortable, but I'm wondering how you're seeing it.
That's exactly actually how I'm seeing it. I do think that while there, you know, was this almost mass exodus 20 years ago, everyone wanted to move out to the suburbs, I see a lot more people coming in and are hungry for little neighborhood places like this. Every time, you know, it's amazing to me how many people that come back that not only have been there for 50 years and new people every week, new people coming in saying, this is exactly what I've been looking for. You know, just something where I can get a good meal, a hot meal, sit and relax and, you know, either listen to the scuttlebutt or, you know, move on with the rest of my day.
So they're getting more than food and nourishment. They're getting a dose of social interactivity.
Yes.
They're getting a dose of social interactivity.
Which I think in this social media age, I think there's a lot of lonely people out there. So I think there's almost like a craving for a neighborhood place where you're not just alone on your phone or on your computer, but you could actually talk to somebody and, you know, kind of get that interaction as well as fill your belly.
Well, it sounds like the Mayflower is the type of place to get that craving satisfied.
There you go.
Candy, thank you for joining us here at WDIY.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is the Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.